And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Joe Rex Road, what's going on?
Unmuted. Nothing really. Just another late night. Sports, you know, I like the Monday Night Football thing, I guess, for the playoffs. I mean, I can't complain about any day that has a playoff game on, but you know, it's kind of weird, and I can't imagine like the Rams now are happy as they flip this around. You know, at least they were the home team last night, but I don't know, man. I mean, I guess there's other situations where you lose a day compared to your opponent, but it's still, I mean, a night game is still a little bit different deal. Now they got to travel across the country, but you know, another bad game too. So now everybody can complain about that. I think we are going to get it paid back this weekend, but it was pretty ugly this weekend.
Pretty disappointing super wild card weekend. There was nothing super about the super wild card weekend. I don't think there's any question about that. Michelle Knezovic, how are you? What's going on?
Doing good this morning. It's going to be a long day, so I got an extra large coffee and then a medium in the fridge for later. Packed my lunch, guys. I am ready this morning.
That's a
double show.
Yep.
Double show type day again, huh?
Also, it was one of those mornings.
All week,
correct. Yeah. It was one of those mornings where, you know, when you wake up, we wake up early, so you're a little delusional. Plus, I wear contacts, so I'm blind. So I looked at my phone and it said 3:58, but in my head, I thought it said 4:58. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm late. And then it like registered and I was like, I have another 45 minutes to sleep. So that was a great start to my morning.
I've done that before. I've gotten like all the way completely in the shower before and then realized, oh, it's 1:42 in the morning. What am I doing?
I haven't done that, Rob.
Good stuff. That was a fun one.
Yeah, that's a little early. So yeah. 3:58. So you just randomly woke up.
I guess so.
Is that right? Is that right, Michelle? I asked you a question.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking to Robbie for a second. I guess I am a little out of it this morning. Yes, I don't know. Maybe I was having a dream about my alarm. I set my Alexa for my alarm, and I'm like half awake when I'm screaming to Alexa in my kitchen to like shut off. I'm like, Alexa, off. So I don't know. I guess I just randomly woke up. Yeah.
The whole Alexa thing.
I'm just trying to picture Rex Road if he had to wake up to the Alexa. He'd never be here on time, ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be old man yelling at cloud again, but the whole Alexa thing to me, it's just – I don't see my kids do it, and it's just, what's the point?
Her in general?
What's that?
Her in general?
Like just yelling at something, you know, like just go hit a button. I mean, I don't understand the fascination with this. I don't see where it's like this great benefit. I mean, I guess you can always say, Alexa, you know, like what's the population of Thailand? You know, I mean, that's fine. You know,
the weather in the morning, it's clutch for the weather in the morning.
I mean, we already have these phones that are attached to our hip that it takes like 2 seconds to look at, but okay.
Can't wait until Rex Road bases his whole life around the Alexa coming up here in the next few weeks. AirPods, the Alexa, he's a new man.
I mean, I will say I'm walking around like an idiot with the AirPods in my ears now, so I probably should watch what I say.
Good stuff. The Preds fall last night 5-3 to the St. Louis Blues. Some good news, some bad last night. Dante Fabbro, week to week at this point with an upper body injury after he took a big hit from Brad Marchand on Saturday in Boston. The Predators get Philip Forsberg back in the lineup last night, and Philip Forsberg picks up where Philip Forsberg left off, and that is scoring a goal last night for the Nashville Predators, but it was not enough. 5-3 the final score. Preds were actually up 2-0 in that game. So rare to see them get up in a game like that and then have it fall apart on them. But St. Louis gets it done last night, 5-3. And that's now 3 games in a row with, you know, of course, an overtime loss tossed in there as well, that the Predators have fallen at this point.
Yeah, I mean, early on, I mean, they were just all over the place. What, I think they had a 14-1 shots advantage, you know, starting out of that game. Looked great. And, man, there's just some stuff happening in the defensive zone right now that can't happen. And, I mean, some of it is like turning the puck over, but it just seems like guys are just losing their guys at times. They're just making mistakes in the D zone. And that's a really good team too, by the way. So it was disappointing to see them, you know, give up four in a row. Then they, boy, they had some chances after they got it to 4-3. They had some primo chances. Well, Forsberg off the post was, I thought that was in. So it's a little bit of a, I guess you call it a slump here. You know, it's like some things that used to go in for you. Now they don't go in for you. It's amazing how that sometimes works in sports, you know, when you got the confidence and you're rolling, everything goes right. And I don't know, we'll see if they can turn this around this week. They're going to have plenty of opportunities.
They'll be back at it tonight, taking on the Vancouver Canucks at home at Bridgestone Arena. So second half of a back-to-back coming up tonight for the Predators. By the way, Ryan Johansson scores a goal last night, which means, Joe Rexrode, the listeners have taken the lead in the Preds Pick the Click competition brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. You'll have an opportunity to answer today at 8:45.
And they take the lead on, of all people, Ryan Johansson.
And the listener even said, I'm taking Michelle's pick, Ryan Johansson.
Yeah.
I think I should get a point by default. Also,
I should get a point because Matt Duchene was my guy, and he totally made that play. But that's cool.
I also went 0-6 for Pigskin Pick'em.
Did you go over?
Oh, yeah.
It's official, guys. 0-6.
Wow.
Look, it had to happen at some point.
So you're a great regular season player is what we found out.
The playoffs just falling apart. It's all right. I think I went 0-6. I know at least once, maybe twice this year. So,
oh, yes.
It happens.
I've had the over.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Welcome to the club.
That's right. So the Rams get it done last night, 34-11, the final score in the final game of Super Wild Card Weekend. Not a great game last night. You know, Stafford didn't really have to do all that much. He threw the ball 17 times last night for 202 and two touchdowns. You know, the Rams really were just in control from the beginning. Obviously, some big plays by Odell Beckham Jr., especially the touchdown catch early. Cooper Kupp, 5 catches, 61 yards, a touchdown as well. And Arizona just couldn't do much offensively. Kyler Murray was not very good last night. And here we are, the Rams advance, and that sets up quite the divisional round. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But pretty disappointing showing last night from Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes. You know, Kyler Murray looked very uncomfortable. And, you know, they finished the season poorly. So there's that aspect of this. And Kingsbury looked – he just looked shell-shocked on the sideline last night. Like, just didn't know what was going on. But I also think that a lot of what Kyler Murray struggled with last night was that Aaron Donald is just like in your face immediately. Oh, and now here comes Von Miller and Floyd. And I mean, that defense looked really good, you know, really. And clearly on some of those plays, it was just really good coverage too. It's incredible, one, that in the same end zone this year, there have been two horrific picks thrown out of the end zone, both of them caught by guys named David Long Jr.
Yeah.
One, the Titans' David Long Jr. caught a Matthew Stafford pick, and then now the Rams' David Long Jr. caught a Kyler Murray. Oh, boy. Although that was more like a Wentz pick, if anything, right? Just
brutal.
Flip it up in the air. But I thought Stafford, you know, made the throws when he needed to. He looked good. They looked good. I'm really excited about Rams-Bucks. I think that could be really excellent. And I cannot believe what I saw from Cam Akers. 5.5 months ago, he tore his Achilles. That doesn't happen. And he looked great. So you have now Akers and Michelle as a nice tandem. And Beckham looks like, you know, like he really has take into this offense and to Stafford. So I tell you what, you know, I like the Rams. I really do. I mean, and it may end for them just because it's Brady and the Bucks, and that's a really good team and a really good defensive front too. But that looks like a team that's ready to go do something. And, you know, it's a great bounce back. It goes to show you, like, the whole thing about momentum going to the playoffs. I mean, terrible loss for them. They let in their rivals to the playoffs. And in the meantime, they go from getting to play Philly to having to play the Cardinals, or so we thought, having to play the Cardinals. And I just like, ooh, I just don't like that. Well, they responded. So good for them.
Good for them. I mean, you brought up Von Miller. He had 6 tackles last night, a sack, and 3 tackles for loss. I mean, that guy, pretty good stuff last night from Von Miller. And when you already factor in, you've got Leonard Floyd there, and then, you know, some guy named Aaron Donald. Pretty good front the Rams have.
Well, he got out on like one of those little bubbles to Rondale Moore.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, old man, wow, easy now. He's moving pretty well. So
you better leave Rondale alone. Better calm down over there, Von Miller.
Well, Rondale was the targeted, you know, little outlet guy too on the pick. So, you know, tough way to end for Rondale, but he'll have better days ahead for him. You know, Kyler Murray, probably going to be people overreacting to Kyler Murray. I actually saw a fair amount of Twitter, like this whole, like, people ripping Jalen Hurts. Well, you better rip Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's done a lot more than Jalen Hurts has done in the NFL. And frankly, I think Kyler Murray is quite a bit better than Jalen Hurts. I think he's fine. I don't think it was a mirage the way he played this year. Look, you take Hopkins away, and that's gonna hurt a guy for one thing, right?
Well, I don't think there's any question, but this is now 2 years in a row, not just with him, but with Kingsbury as well, where they just totally fall apart in the second half of the year.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, and I don't know what that is. It's strange. It was, you know, because one thing you would have thought they'd get some kind of a boost from J.J. Watt, also another pretty amazing, you know, comeback from all of his injury. I mean, the fact that he's coming back to play anymore in this league at all, it's like, I mean, hey, good for him, but geez, man. He has had so many injuries, and he looked pretty good at times last night too. But yeah, I don't know what that is. That's troubling. I just still think overall, you know, Kyler Murray, I think he's going to be a good player in this league. There, the height sometimes gets you, and also you just can't, like, you can't in your own end zone. I know, like, at that point you're down and you're trying to come back, but like, if you're patting the ball in the end zone, you know, then don't do that. Just throw it away, man.
Yeah, get rid of that ball. No question about it. So the 8 teams are set for the divisional round of the playoffs coming up this weekend in the NFL. How many teams do we think have a legit possibility to win the Super Bowl? And are the Titans on that list? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of, the NFL playoffs are in full gear, and everyone can get in on the action with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. All customers get up to $10 back if your same-game parlay doesn't win. Same-game parlays let you combine multiple bets from one matchup for a big payout. You can combine bets on the money line, the point spread, the player stats, and so much more. I'm looking at Niners-Packers coming up this weekend. Give me the Packers on the money line. Give me Aaron Rodgers over on passing yards. It's going to be a cold one out there at Lambeau Field on Saturday night, but you take it any way you want to take it. New customers, join today with promo code ROB to get your risk-free bet. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can enjoy 30-1 odds on any team in the divisional round to win after using promo code ROB. You can turn a $5 bet into $150. Once again, that promo code is ROB on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in says, Murray missed a ton of reads last night. The guy is an amazing playmaker, but when he's forced to go through reads, he has some limitations. Also, the Cardinals need to pull a Titans and replace the coach that took them to the playoffs for someone better, because Kingsbury can't get it done. that's coming from Tyler from Berry Hill saying, just take the old Mike Mularkey route if you're the Cardinals and get Kingsbury out of there.
Well, I'm less inclined to argue with the Kingsbury point. But on the Murray point, I mean, if you go back to the Titans game, there were some plays in that game where he impossibly extended plays, and who knows what read he was on, you know, when he, you know, made some of the throws in that game. I don't think it's like some chronic thing where he doesn't go through his progressions or read defenses. I think last night he looked like he had happy feet, and he knew that 99 was coming up the middle. I mean, I think last night he was affected by who he was going against. And I think that actually, Brian, I was kind of going back and forth between the Manning cast and the regular. I will say I left the Manning cast when the great throw to Beckham and those guys were talking to The Rock, which was good. But then like they're going into all these like Rock Miami highlights and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but dude, I want the replay of like that play I just saw in the game. I'm going back to the traditional broadcast, but Greasy, you know.
Now you hate Tom Brady and Peyton Manning? My goodness.
Oh, never, never, never. But I hate neither of them. But Greasy had a good point. He's like, you know, sure, everybody was excited today waking up to, you know, to have a playoff game, but I bet you some of those Cardinals linemen had a little bit of a pit in their stomach dealing with that guy. So yeah. I think that was I agree that last night there were times it was just like he was just panicky. And he some of his throws, the second pick was just a panicky rather than like take your time. Right? It's lofted it on the screen. He just fastballed it off his guy's hands. You know, he was just a very skittish QB last night.
He was. And now the Cardinals are going home. The Rams are advancing and the eight teams are set for the divisional round. So I think some really good matchups coming up this weekend in the AFC. You've got the Titans and the Bengals, obviously, and then the Bills and the Chiefs, which, as you predicted yesterday, Joe, lots of people calling that the de facto AFC title game on the Twitterverse yesterday. We'll get to that here a little bit later here in the show. And then on the NFC side of things, you've got the Bucks and the Rams and the Niners and the Packers. So hopefully, after what was, I think, a pretty underwhelming wild card weekend, could have a pretty good divisional round coming up. Let me start with this question. Outside of Titans-Bengals, because obviously that's the game that we're going to focus in on the most, what do you think the best game could be coming up on divisional weekend here in the NFL? Because I think there's potential for all of them to be pretty good.
Well, I do too. I think, look, the Bills Chiefs, yes, I reject, of course. It's silly to say that this is the AFC championship game when the one seed is here in Nashville and the one seed beat both of those teams. And again, I do distinguish there. The one seed beat both of those teams. They did beat the Chiefs when the Chiefs were not playing well. The Chiefs at that point, and then even, you know, you saw the Chiefs against Jordan Love and the Packers, like have to grind out a win. Like during that stretch of the season, they weren't good. The Bills were. The Bills were as good as the Bills have been this year. Now I think they're back to that now, and the Titans beat them. So that's dumb, but I mean, let's face it, it's exciting to think of that game. I mean, that's a great way to end the weekend, Bills Chiefs, and it should be tremendous. Again, I said it earlier. I mean, Bucks Rams to me has major potential. The QB matchup, of course, and you know, by the way, good for Matthew Stafford. He got his first playoff win. It's just amazing to me that people, I don't know if Stafford's going to get this done from here or if he's, you know, top tier quarterback, but my gosh, people, he doesn't have a playoff win because he played for the Lions. I mean, the idea that anybody would blame him for that. And also there was a 2014. It's funny now how in retrospect, everybody's talking about 2014 Dallas game, which they got totally screwed on. And a call, or else he would have a playoff win, but whatever. Anyway, that game excites me. Stafford, Brady, but both of those defenses against both of those quarterbacks. That could be epic. But yeah, like all of them, all four of them are very appealing.
Well, to that point, I'm looking at the lines on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. The Titans favored by 3.5 against the Bengals. The Packers are favored by 5.5 against the Niners. That's the biggest point spread in divisional round weekend. Bucks favored by 3 against the Rams, and the Chiefs favored by 2.5 against Buffalo. So the odds makers are telling you they're expecting some pretty good games coming up this weekend. There are no 12.5 point spreads or 8.5 point spreads, anything like that. So that's good to see, divisional round.
It is. And again, if you go by the you get 3 points for being at home theory, I mean, I guess that would say that if it was a neutral field, it'd be a Bills by 0.5 point, which I honestly I could buy given the way they played against the Patriots last weekend. I think Josh Allen was special and it really has been largely that late in the season. So yeah, you're talking about, I guess, so the big line is, that makes sense that the Packers Niners would be the biggest line, but it's still not very big. And I think that could be great too.
So of the 8 teams that are left, how many do you think have a legitimate chance to win? Because I was thinking about this question last night, and the first number that came to mind to me was 6. I think 6 have a legitimate chance to win. Having said that, like if you told me right now that the Bengals just get hot and Joe Burrow's lighting it up, then yeah, I guess they've got a chance to win. But I'm taking the Bengals out on the AFC side of things. And because Jimmy G right now is their quarterback, I'm taking the Niners out on the NFC side of things. Other than that, I think every team left in the playoffs has a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. Now, you know, I hesitate about the Niners and the Bengals too, because look, I think if you get to the divisional round, you're a pretty darn good football team. So I'm looking forward to this. If I had to identify two that I think I'd take out of the picture that's a little bit on a different tier than the others, I would go Bengals, Niners. But, you know, I think those two teams are scary as well.
Yeah, I you know, didn't intend for this to be like a disrespect the Bengals segment, but you know what? I think that's the only team I'd say no on. And I agree with you. Look, you're telling me there's no way. I'm not saying there's no way, but I still think that they're a couple offensive linemen, a couple defensive players away, and especially as banged up as they are up front. And I know we'll get to that, but I've got to exclude them. And the Niners would be the other team I'd look at. But you know what? I've seen Jimmy G in the Super Bowl, and he missed a throw that if he makes the throw, they win it.
Yep.
I'm not convinced that they're doomed to – it's just like the Cowboys game. Don't make that throw. Like, why did you make that throw right there? If you didn't make that throw right there, then none of that stuff happens at the end of the game. And we saw him here. So maybe he's doomed to do that. Like, I just still think overall he's playing pretty well. I love just their offense and what they do. You know, their defense is – well, Bosa's a big thing. They've got to have him, and that's the thing. Like, if they don't have Bosa, then – okay, then I'm going to put them on the no list right now because they're not going to win this weekend. They're not going to win this weekend if they don't Bosa. But they would be like that swing team. I think everybody else, the other 6 teams, absolutely can win. All of them can win 3 more games. That to me, that there's no doubt. Rams, Bucks, Packers, Titans, Chiefs, Bills.
Yeah, I mean, and the NFC side of things – the Bucks Rams, I think, has the potential. I know everybody, a lot of people are going to be talking about Bills Chiefs, and I understand why. I think Bucks Rams is going to be awesome. I mean, it's Tom Brady. They're at home. You still have Mike Evans. So, I mean, there's plenty of weapons there at Brady's disposal. The thing that I wonder about that we saw, and I don't know how much the Eagles are really attest to this, like Tampa Bay's defense has been good this year. It really hasn't been great. They were great last year in the playoffs, and they looked great against Philadelphia. Now, how much of that was Tampa's defense and how much of that is it was the Philadelphia Eagles? I don't know. I think we're getting ready to find out this weekend, though, coming up on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. I would lean toward – I did not like what the Eagles were doing. I did not like how Jalen Hurts played. I just thought Jalen Hurts – missed on some throws that have to be layups, which again was kind of my concern for him. I mean, I think that's why Tua ended up taking the job. You know, obviously Tua comes to the national title game and that changed everything, but just the consistent short intermediate accuracy I've never thought was there at a high enough level for Jalen Hurts. And so I just think some of those plays that you just have to make, that they're giving you these quick access throws that he was missing, then it got out of hand. But don't want to take credit away for the Bucs, because we know the players they have. And like you said, what they did last year. So that was probably a real nice start for them, but it's a totally different challenge now. I mean, it is, you go from that Eagles team, that Eagles offense to what the Rams are doing. And we'll find out. I think there's going to be probably some big shots landed on both sides.
Speaking of big challenges, how much of a challenge would this Cincinnati Bengals defense be for the Titans offense coming up on Saturday? We will dive a little bit deeper into that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, you mentioned the importance of your running game a little bit earlier. As far as the offensive line goes, you've actually had these guys together for the last couple of weeks. Is this about as in sync and healthy as the O-line has been all season?
I mean, it's good to have everybody together. It's good to have some continuity, but we'll have to have guys ready to go, you know what I mean, because we know how quickly those things can change through the course of a week or during a game. So, you know, but that's been great that we've had some continuity over the last, couple of weeks.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday, looking ahead to the Bengals and the Titans coming up this weekend. The offensive line looked a little bit better last few weeks. Hopefully they can stay together, stay healthy as they head into this matchup against Cincinnati. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. So, Joe, we talked yesterday about the Cincinnati defense and specifically the success that they have had against the run. They were number 5 against the run in the NFL throughout the course of the regular season, and now they have placed a significant blow to that defense. Larry Ogunjobi out of this game. He placed on injured reserve on Monday, which means that his season is now over. Ogunjobi came in, I think last offseason with the Bengals, had 7 sacks, 12 tackles for loss, 16 quarterback hits, and started 16 games for the Bengals this year. So obviously, that presence up the middle for the Bengals on the line of scrimmage, that's a pretty big loss to not have Ogunjobi in this game if you're Cincinnati.
Yes.
One mute.
Dang it. He's a big loss. And, you know, Trey Hendrickson is in concussion protocol. I mean, the Bengals are kind of like the Niners right now. Their top pass rusher had a concussion in the wild card round. So, I mean, look, a lot of times that leads to missing the next week. So we'll see on Trey Hendrickson. That would be a big loss. But even Ogunjobi he's kind of the guy in the middle there that's really been a difference maker for them up front. That's a big loss. And they had another injury too. Well, they had two other injuries up front to go with that. It was Mike Daniels.
Yep.
Was a replacement, with a groin. So, yeah, they are banged up, and this is why you want the bye. This is why the bye is good, because then you can sit back and watch, and you figure your opponent probably gets a little bit banged up in that game that they have to play.
Well, just think about the one seeds in each conference right now, right? I mean, you've got the Titans side of things with Derrick Henry maybe coming back into the fold. You're getting healthier on the offensive line. Like, you're feeling pretty good about where you are from a health perspective. You know, the Packers, they've got Za'Darius Smith coming back. David Bakhtiari is coming back. Like, you've got all these guys coming back if you're the one seed. And then on the flip side of things, you lose Nick Bosa in the wild card round. Larry Ogunjobi now out for the Bengals. Like, to your point, it's more than just the skipping ahead to the divisional round. It's getting healthier while you're doing it. It's a big advantage, or at least it should be.
Yeah, no, exactly. So now, the thing that if you're the Bengals, again, we certainly have seen those wild card winners come in and beat the team with the bye. And maybe there's something to the continuity, the routine and all that stuff. And, having that momentum, but as far as health. It'll be interesting. Today we will get everything gets moved up a day. So today we will get the first injury reports for the teams. Maybe the shortest yet for the Titans. We will see. And then also, I think the Titans are going to activate Derek. I don't think the Titans are going to wait to the end to activate Derek Henry, but we'll see. It doesn't matter either way. You know, like you can wait till Friday and do it. I mean, it's still within the window, but I suspect that that may happen, you know, prior to that. I mean, there's no illusions here. It's not like it's not like the Bengals aren't preparing to play Derrick Henry.
Right. Vrabel just sitting in a corner, twiddling his thumb, saying, ooh, just wait until Friday afternoon when we activate Derrick Henry. It's going to come out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who knows? Vrabel was very excited to have a press conference yesterday, by the way.
Yes, he was.
He was really into it.
Yes, he was. Even more so than normal. Really into it yesterday for the Mike Vrabel press conference. So what do you make as obviously the injuries are one thing, and that's going to weaken the Cincinnati front. I don't think there's any question about that. Just in general, when you kind of take a deep dive into what we saw, we had Liam texting in yesterday, said they've had the fifth fewest rushes against in the league, all these different things that factor into being the number five rush defense in the NFL. What do you think we're going to see in terms of the rush defense from Cincinnati coming up on Saturday afternoon?
Well, I wrote about this rush defense at theathletic.com today.
Oh, boy.
And some various points about the matchup, including, you know, obviously the Titans' pass defense, pass rush against the Bengals. That's a great matchup. But is this Bengals defense actually great against the run? So they are fifth in yards per game allowed, 102.5. Okay. So obviously that sounds good. But if you dig a little deeper, again, first of all, you take Ogunjobi out, that hurts. But you know, they were tied for 13th in yards per carry, 4.3, tied for 14th in rushing touchdowns on 14. They allowed two runs of 40 or more. It doesn't sound like much, but a lot of teams in the NFL didn't allow multiple runs of that. They were sixth with just 8 runs of 20 or more allowed, and that's a good number. But if you go into – I think what happened, a lot of times it's situational, because teams that that wanted to run the ball, you know, teams that kind of emphasize it. One, the Browns ran for 358 yards in two games against the Bengals. We know that the Browns are big on running the ball. The Jags had 139. The Packers, 133. You know, where these numbers really got helped was one, they shut down the Steelers. We know about the Steelers and their run game. And those were also blowouts. So that's another thing. How much does game situation affect that number? It affects it quite a bit. You know, they blow out the Lions. Okay, the Lions can't run anyway. They blow them out. So the Lions rush for 36 yards. They even try to run. Some teams don't try to run. That's where it's hard to like judge rush defenses anymore in the NFL, right? Because some teams, I do think there's some impressive performances in there. In the opener, Dalvin Cook, 61 yards, really good job. And yeah, we know that the Vikings want to run it. The Niners holding them to 100 is I think a good performance. That's a team that certainly that can run with physicality. So there's some good ones in there. And the big thing to me where the numbers swung is that the Ravens twice, they blew out the Ravens and they didn't give, you know, they only gave them like 140 total yards in two games. But that's the problem is, you know, when you beat them 41-17 and 41-21, good for you. But it's also, what does that mean for game situation? How much the Ravens tried to run it? Lamar Jackson wasn't involved in the second game either. I think overall you look at it, it's like, okay, they're fine. It's not like they're bad, but I would not look at this like, oh, this is an imposing rush D. I mean, even the Chiefs ran for 155 on them in that wild game that, you know, won the AFC North for the Bengals and well, won the one seed for the Titans.
Yeah, well, like, it's one of those things where this is not some impenetrable wall of a rush defense that the Titans are going to be playing. And look, I mean, we've seen the Titans – you know, you put up 270 against the Patriots, ran for over 200 against, albeit a pretty bad Pittsburgh rush defense. Like, getting Derrick Henry back in there, you still have Foreman. You're feeling good about the offensive line. I think the ingredients are setting up for the Titans to be able to have a pretty good day running the football. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the Bengals, get to more details in that matchup coming up next. As always, got some thoughts to get to as well from you on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, Coach, I always like to get the message that you have at the beginning of the week. So as you start to get the guys back in the building, what was kind of like your message to them in this before this game?
We'll figure it out later on in the week, Tron. I'm done writing articles for you.
You're not writing articles for me, but I appreciate the help.
I know I'm not, Tron. I'm just trying to give you a hard time.
Nah, it's all good, man. I got you.
Nice back and forth between Teron Davenport, friend of the show, and Mike Vrabel, who also, Joe Rex showed, is friend of the show here on the program. What do you think about Vrabel's writing skills? I think he's done a good job writing articles for TD this year.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. Vrabel tapping away on a keyboard. And let's switch roles. Put us in the headset, man.
Hey, man.
You know, it's like Freaky Friday. Yeah, he also shut down my questions on Shane Bowen. He said it'll reflect after the season. So I'm counting on that. At some point, the season will end, and we'll see if Vrabel all of a sudden wants to get reflective. I'm holding him to that. He said he will reflect after the season, and so that's now on the record. So I look forward to the deep reflections of Mike Vrabel.
I look forward to that. As well, going to be
also. I hope the Titans make the Super Bowl so that Vrabel can sit there for hours on media day and be asked some of the dumbest questions known to mankind. And I actually might just stand there all day and laugh at the whole thing.
God gracious, so the media day press conference could be something pretty special. Looking forward to that coming up with Mike Vrabel. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says people are just assuming we're going to have Derek back for the playoffs. I still think there's a possibility that he doesn't play. This is coming from an unnamed texter on the text line. I suppose there's always that possibility.
Sure. The possibility is he has a setback. So if all of a sudden this week on the practice field, there's a little tweak or anything, then there you go. Then you're right. But as of now, he's playing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would not have, you know, put him in the return to play protocols here if I didn't think they didn't feel that way. Now, to your point, you know, all it takes is one tweak on the practice field this week to where you're not feeling pretty good about it, and that could change. So I guess from that standpoint, everybody is always questionable heading into a game. But right now, I don't think there's any question about it. The plan is for Derrick Henry to play. Now, how much he plays and how much he gets the ball and how many carries they give him, I don't know. Like, I'm really interested to see how they're going to handle that. I wonder what their plan for that is going into the game and whether or not there's flexibility for that as they see how he responds once he's in the game. But that's one thing that I'm pretty interested to see on Saturday is – how involved is Derrick Henry, and how often, especially early in the game, does he get the ball?
Yeah, a lot of questions about that, you know, like pitch count and all that. I would be surprised if there's like a hard cap, like he does not get more than 12 carries, you know,
right.
Because I just – you go in this game, and if he's going fine, it looks good, feels good, I do think early we will see both Foreman and Henry. I mean, I think the idea of rotating backs among offensive series is definitely on the table, but it just seems to me like one of those situations where, well, if he's good and here we are, it's a 24 all game in the fourth quarter, and this is a big offensive possession, and that defense looks a little tired. What are you going to do? You know, is 22 available or not?
Right.
So then all of a sudden you go there from 9 carries, and all of a sudden he ends up with 17 after that drive. You know, I think it's going to be play it by ear. And hey, look, if the Titans could have a great day and build a lead and get some separation, then they'd probably try to limit his work if they can. But I suspect that this could end up being one of those fourth quarters where it's like, well, look, is he playing or isn't he? And if he is, then this is where he's at his best. This is where defenses just dread seeing him because they've been on the field all day. And now here comes 22, 6'3", 250, and never gets tired. Now, will Derrick Henry be that guy? Well, how's his conditioning and everything? I suspect it's pretty good because it's Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But there's a lot we're going to find out here Saturday.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texting in says, should the Titans try using A.J. Brown like the Niners use Debo, or at least in some way, just to get the ball to him earlier? What do you think of that idea thrown out there by Ron that maybe you take a page out of the Kyle Shanahan playbook and get A.J. Brown involved in different ways?
I love it. I mean, they've done that here and there. And I love the idea of A.J. Brown being used as a running back. I think he could be a heck of a running back. I mean, really.
I mean, the one request I would have is let's be a little bit more sparing on him throwing the ball. Great spiral. Just be a little bit more sparing on when he throws the ball.
Yeah. That wasn't a great debut in that way. But you know, if it looks good in practice over and over again, you know, maybe you give him another shot at some point. They used to do the stuff that the Niners do with Debo a little bit with Jonnu Smith as well.
Oh, yeah.
It was the same thing. Like any of those guys, Henry, Brown, Smith, terrible, terrible guys for defensive players to tackle. They don't want to try to tackle those guys going downhill. So I think that's a great idea with AJ Brown. I love what Shanahan does with Debo. It's just like, hey, I mean, it's a little bit like Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, with just he's a receiver, but it's like, gosh, he's so physical. Like, use him in different ways. And I think AJ Brown is in that mold too. Of course, your pass game is so reliant on him. I mean, I guess you have to also think about over usage.
Well, yeah, I think you have to think about that too. But the other part of that is like, I doubt very seriously, especially if Derrick Henry is completely healthy and ready to go. Like, you're probably not turning around and handing the ball off to AJ Brown all that much. It's probably going to go to 22 when you're doing that. Just be my guess.
Right. That's the thing. The Niners don't have a 22.
Yeah.
I mean, Elijah Mitchell's a good player, and Juszczyk is fun to watch. Is really great pass catching fullback who runs really hard. But yeah, they don't have 22, and frankly. Well, I don't know. I was going to say they don't even have a foreman. Elijah Mitchell's a good player. But, yeah, 22, it's a different deal. If he's out there, that's primarily who you want to have the ball.
To Ron's point, I don't hate the idea of getting A.J. Brown involved really early in this game. Yeah. Like, obviously, you know, especially if Derrick Henry's out there and he's starting, I mean, that Bengals defense is going to be jazzed up to try and stop Derrick Henry. We see it every time he's in there, especially early in the game. People are selling out to try to stop Derrick Henry. I don't hate the idea of maybe feeding A.J. Brown, Julio Jones early in this game and kind of operating your offense from there. I think that's something the Titans might look at heading into this game.
Well, even a little, you know, a little run fake to Henry, a little jet sweep to A.J. Brown or something like that. You know,
yeah.
I mean, use the defense's focus against him in a game this year with no Henry. I want to say it was, I guess it was probably the Saints game. Like AJ Brown was like, everybody knew like that's their entire offense. So they had some stuff where they had him in the backfield and they're trying to draw the eyes of the defense. And then they threw like a throwback screen and stuff like that. I think that was a play that didn't work, but it would have been a huge play had it connected. You know, stuff like that. I agree though. AJ Brown early, because there's been too many games this year where it's like midway through the second quarter. I mean, there's been games with Julio Jones and AJ Brown both in the game, and it's been well into the first half when it's like neither of them has a target or at least a touch.
Yeah.
And I don't think that should happen Saturday.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, what are the odds during Super Bowl media week that Vrabel keeps saying, I'm just here so I don't get fined? Vrabel pulling the Marshawn Lynch card.
You are great minds. I think I actually thought of the Marshawn, like the coaching Marshawn situation with Vrabel. I'm totally with you. Of course, we're all now looking to the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
There you go.
Well, we'll plan the parade a little bit later in the show, but I will say I'm kind of half expecting if they get there for media day for Vrabel to be like in the best mood ever. Like when John Glennon and you start asking him questions to brush it aside. But when, you know, so-and-so from Entertainment Tonight or whoever starts asking him questions, he could eat it up. Could be media darling.
So that's he'll be all just a sweetheart with the, yeah, with the national / entertainment media. Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking, man.
Yeah. I could see it. We'll see if it happens.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 1025 The Game Preds Game Day broadcasts are brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths. You can find them on the web at GoHermitage.com. When we come back, we'll continue to take a look at the AFC playoffs and forecast what this might mean for the conference as we move forward here. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.